Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Security in WebSphere Partner Gateway. Today's presenter is Michael Glenn. Michael was one of the first technical support engineers when IBM launched the WebSphere Partner Gateway product back in 2005. He has dedicated his service in customer support and troubleshooting to the WPG product scenes. Currently, he is one of the subject matter experts for the WebSphere Partner Gateway product and other B2B products. His expertise for the B2B products covers both the COS and distributed platforms. He is a leading technical member to the B2B community. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Michael.
Thank you, Joseph, and welcome everyone to this presentation on security, WPG Security Certificate Management. Joseph, if you could go to slide 2, please. Okay, today's agenda is, first off, we're going to start off creating certificates from iKeyman, and then we're going to learn how to export, import, extract certificates with iKeyman. Then we're going to learn how to manage certificates prior to WPG version 6.1.1. And then we're going to go into changes in certificate management in version 6.1.1 and later. We'll give a brief overview of the certificate load wizard. And then we'll do some troubleshooting examples. And then there'll be some useful links that you'll be able to go to. And then we'll have a summary. And there'll be some references, and then they'll have a Q&A period. Okay, if we go to slide 3. All right, first thing we're going to do is learn how to create certificates with iKeyman. iKeyman is basically a tool that's provided with WAS in order to be able to manage your key stores and your certificates. Okay, if we can go to slide 4. To manage your certificates with iKeyman, iKeyman can be used to manage certificates by either creating self-signed certificates, import or export certificates, and add or delete certificates, and can also use it to create certificate requests to certified authorities. Okay, if we can go to slide 5, please. First step in creating certificates is that we will need to create a PKCS12 key store. Now, to do this with iKeyman, first of all, you would click on the key database file on the menu bar, and then you would click on New, and then you would select the type of key database type would be PKCS12, and then you would choose a file name and location where you want this key store to reside. Then you would press OK. Then once you press OK, you'll be prompted for a password for the key store. You'd enter that in depending on your what kind of password you like, and then you press OK at that. Okay, so let's go to slide 6, please. The next step would be to choose what type of certificate you want. There are two types of certificates to create. You need to create a self-signed or a CA, which is a signed by a certificate authority. Okay, let's go to slide 7. So to create a self-signed certificate, you would, first of all, you click on the drop-down arrow beside the signer certificates. From the drop-down box, you select personal certificates. And then you would click on the new self-signed button on the right-hand side. Okay, if we go to slide 8. The next thing you'll come up is a window, This is where you would fill in your required values, like for your organization and the name and so forth. Once you have entered this information in for your certificate, you press OK. And so now your certificate is now in your key store. Okay, if we can go to slide 9, please. And here we're going to show you how to create a certificate request. Okay, first of all, what you do is you click on the drop-down arrow beside signer certificates, and there's an option that says select personal certificate request. Then you would click on the new button. And then you'd fill in your let's go to slide 10, please. Now the next thing would be you fill in your required values like you did before for your self-signed. Then you would press OK. At this point, okay, your certificate request is now created in the file specified that you put down in the previous step. Once this file here, okay, will now need to send to the certificate authority to request the certificate. If we can go to slide 11, please. And now we're going to learn how to export, import, extract certificates using iCommand. Now, the exporting and the importing and extract, okay, this is for, like, we want to export the certificate from iCommand in order to be able to upload it into WPG. The importing is if you want to import a certificate from your CA authority. And the extracting certificate is where you want to extract the public certificate from the key store. Okay, so if we can go to slide 12, please. Exporting, importing, extract, okay. As mentioned, okay, you'll be exporting a private key pair. You'll be either extracting a public certificate or importing a CA certificate. Okay, if we can go to slide 13. Here we're going to explain how to export the self-signed key pair from the key store. Okay, first thing to do is you want to click on the drop-down arrow beside the signer certificates. Okay, and then you will select personal certificates. Okay, this will bring up a list of certificates that you have in your key store. You want to highlight the certificate that you want to export. Okay, and you will click on the export import on the right hand side. Okay, if you can go to slide 14, please. Okay, the window will come up, okay, and there'll be an option there that says export key or import key at the top. So you want to select the export key, and then you want to select PKCS12 as your key file type. And then you want to enter in your file name and your location where you want to export this key pair to. Then you'll press OK. Okay, it will then prompt you for a password to protect the key. This will be different from your key store, so it can be either different or the same, depending on how you operate. And once you have entered in the password, then you press OK. Okay, can we go to slide 15, please? Because now we're going to learn how to extract the public certificate from the key store. First of all, you click on the drop-down arrow beside the signed certificates. Okay, then you will select personal certificates. And then you want to highlight the certificates in the key store, okay? And then you want to click on the extract certificate button on the right-hand side. Okay, if we can go to slide 16, please. Okay, now you have a window that come up, another pop-up window comes up, okay, for the type, okay, is the data type. You'll need to select binary DIR. Okay, then you'll choose your file name and your location where you want to place this file. Okay, then you'll press OK. Okay, at this point, okay, you have a file, a certificate file, okay, and you want to, in DIR format, you want to send this certificate to your trading partner. So if you can go to slide 17, please. Okay, now we're going to learn how to import a CA certificate into key stores. So now, okay, you have received your certificate request from the certifying authority. So what do you do next? Okay, the next thing is to import the CA certificate into the key store. So first thing you want to do is you want to click on the drop-down arrow. Okay, you want to select signer certificates. The next thing you want to click on is add. Okay, then a window will pop up, okay, and you want to select binary DIR for the data type. And then you want to select your file name and location. And then you want to press OK. Okay, so let's go to slide 18, please. Okay, now we're going to our second Item, okay, managing certificates prior to version 6.1.1. Go to slide 19, please. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is understand the certificate types, and these are going to be encryption and decryption, digital signature and verification, and client-server authentication. Okay, if we can go to slide 20, please. All right, so the first thing we're going to discuss is encryption and decryption. Okay, encryption is a mechanism by which the sender encrypts the message that is to be sent to the receiver, and only the receiver can decrypt and read the message after it's encrypted. So, for example, let's take Alice to be the sender and Bob as the receiver. So at Alice's end, she encrypts the message using the public certificate of Bob. Then she transfers that encrypted message to Bob. And at Bob's end, he uses his private key to decrypt the message and extract the content. Okay, go to slide 21, please. So now, next thing is digital signature and verification. The digital signature is a mechanism by which the sender signs the message that is to be sent to the receiver. On receipt of the message, receiving partner tries to verify the signature of the sender to make sure the sender is who he claims to be. For example, let's take Alice to be the sender and Bob as the receiver. Okay, at Alice's end, she signs the message using her private key. She transfers the signed message to Bob. At Bob's end, he uses Alice's public certificate to verify the signature and then extracts the content. Okay, we can go to slide 22, please. So now we're going to learn a little bit of client-server authentication. So each SSL session begins with a handshake. When a client, the partner or internal partner, initiates a message exchange, the following steps occur. The client will send a client hello message that lists the cryptographic capabilities of the client, sorted in client preference order, such as the version of SSL, the cipher suite supported by the client, and the data compression message supported by the client. The message also contains a 28-byte random number. Okay, the second step is the server responds with a server hello done message that contains the cryptographic method, cipher suite, and the data compression method selected by the server, the session ID, the session ID and another random number. Note, the client and the server must support at least one common cipher suite or else the handshake fails. The server generally chooses the strongest common cipher suite. Okay, step three is the server sends this digital certificate, and at this point, the server authentication happens at this step. Okay, step four. The server sends a digital certificate request message, and in this request message, the server sends a list of the types of digital certificates supported and the distinguished names of acceptable certificate authorities. Okay, step five, the server sends a server hello done message and waits for a client response. Upon receiving the server hello done message, the client verifies the validity of the server's digital certificate and checks that the server's hello parameters are acceptable. Step seven, if the server requests the client digital certificate, the client sends a digital certificate, or if no suitable digital certificate is available, the client sends a no digital certificate alert. This alert is only a warning, but the server application can fail the session if client authentication is mandatory. Okay, step eight, the client sends a client key exchange message. This message contains the pre-master secret, a 46-byte random number used in the generation of symmetric encryption keys, and the message authentication code keys encrypted with the public key of the server. If the client Because step nine, if the client sent a digital certificate to the server, the client sends a digital certificate verify message signed with the client's private key. By verifying the signature of this message, the server can explicitly verify the ownership of the client digital certificate. And note, an additional process to verify the server digital certificate is not necessary. If the server does not have the private key that belongs to the digital certificate, it cannot decrypt the pre-master secret and create the correct keys for the symmetric encryption algorithm. And then the handshake fails. In step 10, the client uses a series of cryptographic operations to convert the pre-master secret into a master secret, from which all key material required for encryption and message authentication is derived. Then the client sends a change cipher spec message to make the server switch to the newly negotiated cipher suite. The next message sent by the client, the finished message, is the first message encrypted with this cipher method and keys. In step 11, the server responds to the change cipher spec and a finished message of its own. Now, for client authentication, that requires steps 4, 7, and 9. The SSL handshake ends, and encrypted application data can be sent at that point. Okay? If we go to slide 23, please. Okay, now we're going to learn how to set up encryption and decryption. Okay, we can go to slide 24, please. Okay, so for set up encryption, decryption for inbound, okay, what we're going to have to do first is we're going to have to load the company's P12 file under Hub Operator's PKCS12 encryption certificate. Now, to do this, okay, on the console, what you first do is you go to Account Admin, Profiles, and then Certificates to display the certificate list page. You have to make sure you're logged in to the console as the Hub Operator. You'll click on the Load PKCS12 button. Now, the PKCS12 file can be uploaded to contain only one private key and the associated certificate. You can also upload certificate and private key as a DIR encoded certificate and PKCS hash 8 encoded private key. Okay, the next thing you do is you want to select encryption as a type of certificate or type of description of the certificate. Now, this is required. You want to change the status to enabled. Then you want to click Browse and navigate to the directory in which you have saved the certificate. You will select the certificate and then click Open. You will enter the password that you had given it, and you will click Upload and then click Save. Okay, once that is done, okay, the next step is to enable AES encryption in the participant connection. Your setting, can override other settings at the connection level. The connection summary will inform you if any required attribute is missing. For example, to alter the attributes of a participant connection, click Account Admin, Participant Connections, and then select the participants. Click the attributes, and then edit the attribute, for example, AES encrypted. So once that has been done, okay, you want to send this certificate to the participant so that they can basically, they will be encrypting with that certificate in order for you to be able to decrypt. Okay, if we can go to slide 25, please. Okay, for outbound encryption, first thing you want to do is you need to load the participant certificate in the participant profile as encryption certificate. If this certificate is signed by CA, you will need to install this CA certificate in the Hub Operator profile as root. Now, to install this through the console, you need to follow these steps. Okay, you want to click on Account Admin, Profiles, community participant that you're working with, but I'm sorry, community participant, and search for the participant's profile. Okay, once you have found this participant that you're working with, okay, you want to open that up, okay, you click certificates. You want to click load certificate. Okay, you will select encryption as the type of certificate. This thing will be your type of description of the certificate. You'll change the status to enabled. Then you'll click browse and navigate to the directory in which you have saved the certificate. You'll select the certificate and you'll click open. Now, if this participant has two encryption certificates, you'll need to indicate whether this is the primary or secondary certificate by selecting primary or secondary from the certificate usage list. Next thing you do, you'll click upload and then click save. Now, if you do have second encryption certificate, okay, you'll need to repeat step two forward, okay, to load the certificate. Now, if you're a CA certificate, okay, installing the CA certificate, and the CA root certificate, any other certificates that are part of the certificate chain are not already installed in the hub operator profile, you will need to install the certificates now. And you do this by clicking on account admin profiles in the certificate to display the certificate list page. Again, you need to make sure that you're logged in as the hub operator to install it under that profile. Okay, you'll click load certificate, then you'll select root and intermediate. And then you'll type a description of the certificate, which is required. Then you'll change the status to enabled. Then you'll click browse and navigate to the directory in which you have saved the certificate. And then you'll select the certificate and click open. You'll click upload and then click save. Okay, once that has been done, okay, then you'll need to enable AS encrypted in the participant connection. When you enable encryption at the package, which is the highest level, participant, or you have an option, participant or connection level is the lowest level. Your setting can override other settings at the connection level. The connection summary will inform you if any required attribute is missing. Again, for example, to alter the attributes of a participant connection, click Account Admin, Participant Connections, and then select the participant. Click Attributes, and then edit the attribute, for example, AS Encrypted. Then go to slide 26, please. And now we're going to learn how to set up digital signature and verification. Go to slide 27, please. Say for inbound scenario, okay, you want to load your participant.dir in the participant profile as digital signature certificate. Now, if signed by a CA, you'll need to install the CA certificate in the hub operator profile as root. Now, to install the certificate, use the following procedure. First of all, you receive the participant's X.509 signature certificate in DIR format. And I want to mention here, okay, that WPG only supports X.509 type format certificates. Okay, to install the certificate to the community console under the participant's profile, you click Account Admin, Profiles, Community Participant, and then search for the participant's profile. Once you have gotten that, okay, you'll click on Certificates. Then load certificates. You will select digital signature as the type of certificate. Then you type a description of certificate, which is required. Okay, then you change the status to enabled. You'll click browse. And then you navigate to the directory which you save the certificate. You select the certificate and you'll click open. And then you'll click upload and then click save. Now to install the CA certificate, okay, as mentioned, okay, if a certificate was signed by a CA and the CA root certificate and any other certificates that are part of the certificate chain are not already installed in the hub operator profile, you will install the certificates now. This means you'll have a root, an intermediate, and a leaf. You'll need to install all three under the hub operator profile. To do this, okay, you'll click on Account Admin Profiles and then Certificate to display the certificate list page. Make sure you're logged in as the hub operator and to install the certificate in your profile. Okay, next thing you want to do is click Load Certificate. And for the type of certificate, you're going to select Root and Intermediate. You'll then type a description of the certificate, change the status to Enabled, and then you'll click Browse and navigate to the directory in which you have saved the certificate. And you'll select Certificate, and then you click Open. And then you'll click Upload, and then click Save. Now, if the CA certificate is already installed, okay, you do not have to perform the previous steps. Next step, okay, is to enable AS signing at the package level. At the package level, participant, or connection level, depending on how you want to do it. Again, okay, you'll go to Account Admin, Participant Connections, and then you'll select the participants. You click Attributes and then edit the attribute, for example, AS signed. Okay, if we go to slide 28, please. Okay, for an outbound scenario, you'll need to load your company's P12, okay, digital signature as digital signature certificate. Now, for outbound scenario, okay, the document manager uses this certificate when it sends outbound signed documents to participants. The same certificate and key are used for all ports and protocols. You can have more than one digital signature certificate. One is the primary certificate, which is the one used by default. The other is a secondary certificate, which is used if the primary certificate expires or is otherwise unable to be used. Now, to install the self-signed certificate and private key pair in the form of a PKCS12 through the community console, you need to follow these steps. Click Account, Admin, Profiles, Certificates to display the certificate list page. Make sure, again, you're logged in to the community console as the hub operator. Okay, here you will click Load PKCS12. And the note, okay, be sure, okay, that the PKCS12 being uploaded should contain only one private key and the associated certificate. And again, you can also upload certificate and private key as a DIR encoded certificate and PKCS#8 encoded private key. Okay, then, okay, you'll need to select digital certificate as the type of certificate. Okay, you'll type a description of the certificate, then you'll change the status to enabled. You'll click Browse and navigate to the directory in which you have saved the certificate. Okay, you'll select that certificate and you'll click Open. Okay, then you'll be prompted for your password. Now, if you have two digital signature certificates, okay, you'll need to indicate whether this is the primary or secondary certificate by selecting primary or secondary from the certificate usage list. Okay, you then click Upload and then click Save. Now you'll need to, for the secondary certificate, you'll need to repeat those above steps in order to load it. Now if you're loading primary and secondary certificates for both SSL client authentication and digital signature, and you're uploading the primary certificates as two separate entries, make sure that the corresponding secondary certificates are uploaded as two different entries. If you go to slide 29, please. And now we're going to learn how to set up server authentication. Go to slide 30, please. set up for an inbound server authentication. Okay, you will import your company P12 to the receiver.jks key store. Now, the receiver.jks key store was part of WPG 6.0. Starting with 6.1, the receiver.jks is renamed to BCG Security Trust.jks. So for server authentication, application server uses the SSL certificate when it receives connection requests from two participants through SSL. It is the certificate that the receiver presents to identify to the hub to the participant. This server certificate can be self-signed or it can be signed by a CA. In most cases, you will use a CA certificate to increase security. You might use a self-signed certificate in a test environment. You use iCommand to generate certificate and key pair. Now, after you have generated certificate and key pair, okay, you'll use the certificate for inbound SSL certificate for all participants. Now, if you have multiple receivers or consoles, you'll need to copy the resultant key store to each instance. If the certificate is self-signed, provide this certificate to the participants. And then, of course, you can, to obtain the certificate, you can use iCommand to extract it to a file. If you're using self-signed certificates, you need to use the following procedure. Start the iCommand utility, and then usually this is located in the product directory /WASND/profile/BCG profile/bin. Now, this is the first time using iCommand. You want to delete the dummy certificate that resides in the key store. So, as we discussed earlier, okay, you'll use the iCommand to generate a self-signed certificate and a key pair for the receiver or console key store. So you'll use iCommand to extract to a file certificate that will contain your public key. You'll save this key store to a JKS, PKCS12, or JCEK file. You will install this file into the receiver or console key store for which it was created. Okay, you will distribute the certificate to your participants. The preferred method for distribution is to send the certificate to a zip file that is password protected by email. And then your participants must call you and request the password for the zip file. For using a CA-generate certificate, as we mentioned, okay, you can generate the certificate request, okay, to a CA. And then once you have done that, okay, when you receive the signed certificate from the CA, you use iCommand to place the signed certificate into the key store. And you distribute the CA certificate to all participants. Now, the Westbury Partner Gateway key stores are pre-configured in Westbury Application Server. Now, if you're using different key stores, okay, to configure SSL for the console and receiver in Westbury, use the following procedure. Obtain the following information, the full path names of the key file and trust file. For example, for the receiver, your product directory common security key store receiver.jks. And product directory common security key store receiver trust.jks. Now you must enter these names correctly because in the Unix environment these names are case sensitive. And you'll need the new passwords for each file, the format of each file, depending on how it was created. Okay, this you chose either the values of JKS, JCEK, or PKCS12. And then the path to the script file named bcgssl.jackal. What you'll do now is you open up a command prompt and change to the bin directory, product directory, bin directory. Okay, you will need to run the following commands. Now, the server does not need to be running to change the passwords. Okay, enter the following commands, substituting the values that are enclosed. So all values must be entered, okay? wsadmin.sh or .bat, okay, then the dash F, and then the path to the scripts, okay, bcgssl.jackal, -con type of none, install, then your key file path name, key file password, key file format, then trust file path name, trust file password, and trust file format. After passing these values and you get a successful return of that, okay, no errors, okay, you'll need to start the server. Now, if the server fails to start, it might be because of an error in running this Jackal script. And if you make a mistake, you can rerun the script to correct it. Now, if you have used the BCG client auth.jackal to set the client authentication SSL property, you'll need to reset it after using this BCG SSL.jackal. This is because the BCG SSL.jackal overrides any values that might have been set for client authentication with the value false. To do the same steps for the console JKS file, substituting console for receiver in the path name. All right, so what we've done here, okay, after we have basically imported our private key into the receiver JKS key store, okay, the next thing you're going to do is you need to define an HTTPS target or receiver. Okay, you'll need to make sure, okay, that the secure port 57443 has been defined at installation time and is active. Okay, let's go to slide 31, please. Okay, now for an outbound server authentication, okay, what we'll need to do is load the participant certificate as hub operator's root certificate. So when SSL is being used to send outbound documents to your participants, Westbury Partner Gateway requests a server-side certificate from the participants. The same CA certificate can be used for multiple participants, and the certificate must be in X.509 DIR format. Now, in order to, if you need to convert the format, you can use the iKeyMan utility to do that. Okay, we'll start iKeyMan, okay. You can either create a new key store or open an existing key store. And then in the key database contact, you can select sign a certificate. And then you can add the ARM certificate using the add option. Once that has done, okay, then you can extract the same certificate as a binary DIR data using the extract option. Then import that into your root certificate. Okay, once that, you can close iKeyMan. Now, to install the certificate into the hub operator profile, if the certificate was signed by CA and the CA root certificate and any other certificates that are part of the certificate chain are not already installed in the hub operator profile, you need to install the certificates in the hub operator profile. Okay, you'll do this by clicking certificates, click load certificates. You'll select root and intermediate as type of certificate. You type a description. You'll change the status to enabled. You'll click browse and navigate to the directory in which you have saved the certificate. Select the certificate and click open. You'll click upload and then click save. Okay, once that has been uploaded, okay, then the next step is to define an HTTPS gateway in the participant's profile or destination, as in later releases. You'll select that HTTPS gateway or destination for the participant connection. And then you'll be able to send outbound documents to that participant. Okay, we can go to slide 32, please. So now we're going to be setting up client authentication. Okay, slide 33, please. Okay, now, okay, installing the client certificate for, you'll need to load the participant certificate in the receiver trust.jks file, or as in 6.1 and later, it'll be BCG security trust.jks. You'll need to run the BCG client auth script to enable client SSL. You'll need to turn client authentication on by running the script, as noted here. And then to turn it off, okay, you just run the same script, except at the end, you'll typing clear. The difference between the two scripts is one has set and one has clear. So once you have installed the certificate, you install certificate as tickets into the receiver trust store using iCommand, and you place the related CA certificates in the related key store. When you add more participants to your hub community, you can use iCommand to add their certificates to the trust store. If a participant leaves the community, you can use iCommand to remove the participant's certificates from the key store. Okay, if we go to slide 34, please. Okay, for outbound, okay, you'll need to upload your company P12 under Hub Operator as an SSL client certificate. Now, to do this, okay, you would, once you have your self-signed certificate created as before, okay, then you would go to Account Admin, Profiles, Certificates to display the certificate list page, and then, again, make sure you're logged in as the Hub Operator. Okay, you'll click Load PKCS12. And again, as mentioned, okay, this PKCS12 file should only contain one private key and the associated certificate. Okay, you'll select SSL client as the type of certificate. You'll type a description, and then you'll change the status to enabled. You'll click Browse, and then you'll navigate to where that certificate is located. You'll select the certificate and click Open. Okay, you enter the password. Now, if you want to select a gateway type other than production, the default, you'll select it from the list. Now, if you have two SSL certificates, like indicate, you'll need to indicate whether this is primary or secondary by selecting either which one it is from the certificate usage list. Okay, you'll then click Upload and then click Save. Now, again, okay, if you're uploading primary and secondary certificates for both SSL client authentication and digital signature, and you're uploading the primary certificate as two separate entries, you'll make sure that the corresponding secondary certificates are uploaded as two different entries. Now, if the, as mentioned, okay, for a CA certificate, okay, you've gotten the certificate request from the CA authority, okay, now you need to import that into your trust store, and then you'll distribute the CA signing certificate to the participants. Once you have imported certificate, okay, you'll define the HTTPS gateway in the participant's profile. Okay, you will select that gateway for the participant connection, and then you will send the certificate to the participant. Okay, if we can go to slide 35, please. Okay, now we're going to look at some changes that were in 6.1.1 and later. Slide 36. So what's new in 6.1.1 and later? Okay, in 6.1.1 and later, okay, we have a new wizard to simplify loading and configuring certificates. And now, okay, in 6.1.1, you can, certificates can be associated to internal partners, and multiple certificates can be loaded for the same usage, whether it be digital signature or encryption or SSL. You have certificate sets to group primary and secondary certificates. Okay, we have an ability to vary certificates based on partner pair, operation mode, or package. You have global settings for internal partners. We have a where-use capability for certificates and certificate sets. And there's a validate function in the console to validate certificates. If we can go to slide 37, please. So now let's look at what we mean by multiple certificates. The prior versions of WPG, we would allow the internal partner to have just one set of certificates for usage like digital certificate. But now in this release, okay, you will be able to load more than one certificate to a partner for the same usage. You can also have multiple certificates based on operation mode, whether it be production or test. And now you can choose to use one certificate for one participant connection in one operation mode. but we do not allow certificate being associated to protocol or document. It's just at the packaging level. Okay, let's go to slide 38. So what are certificate sets? So in 6.1 or later, okay, we introduced this feature, okay, and basically it's used for grouping primary and secondary certificates. Users now associate certificate sets to participant connections as opposed to associate certificates in the prior releases. A set can be marked default, which allows users to default this set for all connections in which the current partner is either the initiating partner to all receiving partners, or for all selected operation modes, or for all packaging options. Alternatively, this could be a default for connections which the current partner is the receiving partner. Certificate sets can be used by internal partners to hold private keys that will be used for digital signature and or SSL. It can also be used as external partner's public certificate, which will be used for encryption. Okay, so go to slide 39, please. And now also the new function here, validate and the where use function. To validate allows the users to make sure that the certificate is valid by checking the certificate expiration date and the certificate path validation. Now, also, okay, we've extended the where use function to all certificate-related artifacts. As an example, you can now select a certificate and click where use to figure out which certificate set this belongs to. And if you choose where use on certificate set, you can view the list of connections this certificate can be applied to. Let's close slide 40, please. Okay, now we're going to do a brief overview of the load certificate wizard. Go to slide 41, please. Okay, the certificate load wizard, okay, is provided to simplify the process of loading and configuring certificates partners. It is a seven-step wizard. Okay, in step one of the wizard, okay, if you're logged in as Hub operator, you can load certificates either for Hub operator, internal or external partners. In case you're logged in as an internal partner, then you're allowed to load certificates just for internal and external partners. You can choose to upload a public certificate or private key, P8 format, or one more certificate or key from a trust store or a key store. Okay, in step two of the wizard, okay, you'll be taken only in case you're loading certificates or key from either a trust store or a key store. Here, the users are asked to select one or more certificates or key that they want to upload. Users will be allowed to only load one key or certificate at a time, but can load multiple trusted or intermediate certificates. On step three, okay, users provide details about certificate or key information, like what is the certificate going to be used for, SSL, sign, or encryption, and which operation modes that this certificate will be used, such as test or production. And is this certificate a primary or secondary? If this is a private key or encryption certificate of external partner, then users will be prompted to add this certificate to an existing set or create a new one. Okay, in step four, okay, you associate the certificate to an existing set. There will be a drop-down shown with a list of existing sets that this certificate can fit into. Else users can create a new set. They can also choose to make this default set. If the set is chosen to be default, what this means is for all documents initiated by the partner whom this certificate belongs to, or for all documents that this partner would be receiving, in case of an external partner, this certificate will be used. Let's go to slide 42, please. Okay, step five, okay. Users will be taken to this page only if the set was chosen to be the default and the set belongs to an internal partner. In this page, they can choose the set to external partners or associate the set to external partners. Also, you can also associate this set to different operation modes that will be used in. Now, in step six, users you'll be taken to this page only if the set was chosen to be the default and the set belongs to external partner. In this page, they can associate the set to internal partners. Also, you can also associate this set to different operation modes that will be used in, that this will be used in. Okay, if we can go to slide 43, please. Now, step 7, okay, users will be taken to this page only if the set was not default. In this page, they can associate the set to internal partners or external partners. Also, you can associate this set to different operation modes and packages. In case you load a certificate or key from a trust store or key store, you have a choice to go back to page 2 and load another certificate. Alternatively, you choose Finish, which will complete uploading and configuring certificate. Let's go to slide 44, please. Now we're going to do some troubleshooting. First of all, with troubleshooting, okay, you want to set up your logging and tracing to be, you know, change your debug level for all service to finest. And you do this by going to the WAS admin console. You can click troubleshooting, logs and trace. You select the server name. Then you will click on change log detail levels. Okay, you'll select the runtime tab. And in there, okay, you'll say if all components have been enabled, you want to turn them all off. And then you want to enable specific components by entering the following string. Star equals info colon com.ibm.bcg.asterisk equals finest. Okay, you'll click on apply. Okay, if it is on the full distributed mode, okay, you'll need to repeat those steps for all the servers. For SSL, okay, you will need to enable SSL trace in the WAS console. To do this, okay, you go into the WAS console and you'll select servers, application servers, server name. Then you'll expand the Java and process management under server infrastructure, process definition, Java virtual machine, custom properties, and then new. Okay, you'll need to type the following, JavaX, .net.debug under the name and then value of true and then click apply and save and then save your changes to the master configuration. Then you will need to append SSL and trace string above, okay, where we had next to asterisk equals info colon com.ibm.bcg.asterisk equals finest colon SSL equals all. Okay, you will click apply and save. And then save your changes to the master configuration. You want to stop the server and then restart it. And then secondly, you'll need to turn on the SSL property in the console. For 611 and later, okay, that's located under System Administration, Common Properties. You'll set bcg.http.sslDebug to true. Okay, you can go to slide 46, please. Okay, one troubleshooter is avoiding certificate chaining errors. In version 6.1 lays the property bcg.build_complete_searchpath is set under the WPG console under System Administration and Common Properties. So if you're getting this message here, okay, where it says WPG will attempt to build and validate certificate path if the build BCG build complete search path equals true, instead in the BCG properties file. Now, if the path cannot be verified, you will see the following errors in the router log. And here I have pointed to a tech note, okay, resolution for this tech note, under tech note 126.6207. Then go to slide 47, please. Another troubleshooting we've seen is SSL connection failure due to invalid certificate revocation lists. This is due to not being able to find the distribution point, whether it be a remote or a local CRL. So what you need to do is to enable the use of CRL distribution points. Okay. Now, you can run this by running a script, WAS admin script, okay, bcg set crldp.jackal. And if you look inside the Jackal script, it'll give you instructions on the parameters to pass to it. As an example, it would be like wasadmin.sh-f, and then where the script's located, the path to the script, bcgsetcrldp.jackal, install, then your node name, your server name, and then crldp. And your server root, okay, is like the root directory of the server. For example, /ops/IBM/receiver/was/profiles/bcg-receiver. And that can be for any server, like would it be a doc manager, console, or the receiver. And to disable it, okay, you would just, instead of install, you'd do uninstall. And if you want to use a proxy, okay, you can use that same script, okay, and you'll have to give the proxy host and the proxy port. The same thing to do it for uninstall, okay, you just pass it proxy to disable it. Now, if you want to configure cert path related properties, okay, you can go under the system under system administration common properties, and there are a number of properties there for like bcg.crl directory. This is for your local CRLs. Also for bcg check with revocation status. There's also one for bcg build complete cert path. Now, to configure a CRLDP, okay, under the WAS admin console, okay, you'd go under servers, application servers, Java and process management, process definition, Java virtual machine. And then you want to specify the values for the Java virtual machine that is mentioned for like CRLDP. And this is, the parameters, okay, would be you set com.ibm.security.enable CRLDP in the generic JVM properties field by doing the following, by passing -d -com.ibm.security.enable CRLDP equals true. To disable, you'll just the same parameters, okay, but you'll set it to false. Okay, if we go to slide 48, please. There's been some issues, okay, with having to do with key size and algorithm parameters, and this is due to the parameters which are the libraries, okay, the JC libraries used by Java, and basically they are restricted, okay, so what you have to do is download the unrestricted jar files and basically following this link here in the presentation. You can download the from that website, and this is for 1.4.2 and 1.5. So once you have done that, okay, you'll need to restart your, once you have copied the two jar files, which is local_policy.jar and US_export_policy.jar. Once you copy those to the prospective directories, then you'll be able to get around that problem. Now, to test, okay, if cryptography level in your PKS 12 exceeds the JCE default, you can use the key tool command supplied in your JRE. And basically what you do is you do run the following command, key tool --list --v --keystore, and wherever your the path to your key store is, --store type and what type it is, --store path --password. Now, if you get like unsupported key size or algorithm parameters, okay, then you would need to download these files. Okay, if we go to slide 49, please. Okay, what I've done here, I've provided a few links here for our WPG support page, also a link to the index of our tech notes that you may be very helpful. Also to the IBM support assistant, assist on site that we can use to, in case we need to log into your machine to help debug a situation. And then there's a link to an IBM support two-part, which helps you basically get to different support sites. Okay, if we can go to slide 50, please. Okay, Okay, in summary, okay, we discussed how to manage certificates using IKEYMAN. We discussed how to set up digital signature encryption SSL certificates before 611. And then we discussed the changes in 611 and later. We discussed the certificate load wizard. We discussed some troubleshooting tips. And we discussed some useful links. Okay, if we go to slide 51. Okay, this chart includes links to a number of sites to provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on support pages points you to webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education System consists of self-help modules to get new users up the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications links on all product support pages let you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. Okay, at this point, this concludes my presentation, and I'll turn it over to Joseph.
Rahat Jaffrey, you may ask your question.
Michael?
Hello, Rahat.
Hey, how are you? I have a question regarding the self-signed certificate. We have some partners, on, especially on the test system, that let's say you have a self-signed certificate, right? You have to upload under the hub operator and the participant profile, and do you need to put that in IKEYMAN as well?
You know, what type of certificate is it?
It's some companies, they don't spend money on like getting a well-known certs out there, and they just self-sign it and send it to us.
Normally, that, I mean, if it's just self-signed, it'd be loaded under the participant profile.
Okay. Okay. So, but the thing is, you don't need to put in the BCG security trust.
I mean, those are for, in other words, security trust is for like for CA certificates to be put in the trust store.
Uh huh.
Now, if it's like an SSL certificate, it may be put in there.
I mean, you know, let's say a company, IBM, right, they just self-sign it and they use their own certificate authority and they send us a cert. In that case, you have to put in BCG Security Trust, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Another question is, in 6.1, we are running 6.1. And the problem is, on our console, all the expired certs, they still sit there, and we cannot kind of clean up. So is it anything IBM did in the new release?
In their case, in the later releases, there you are able to delete certificates.
Okay. All right. And the third and last question, that the statement you made that I forgot the line where you have to put, but I definitely, what we did on our 6.1 WPG, that we were having that assert build failed error in our transactions, and when we call IBM and OpenPMR, they told us to go and change that statement from true to false.
Right.
Yeah. So you think, did IBM fix anything in 6.1.1? Because to me, the default setting was true, and it should be stay that way, and all the cert paths should be built the right way if we are receiving the right certs. And if we're not doing that, we kind of tricking the system and making it not work the right way. What do you think?
Well, that's normally okay. Let's say if it couldn't be built due to like a certificate chain error, okay, then like say that one tech note that I mentioned in my presentation, avoiding the chain errors where you basically you would extract, okay, the intermediate, the root, and the public, okay, or the leaf certificate, and then load them individually in the under hub operator as root intermediate.
Uh-huh.
That way, you know, you'd be able to get around that error. But like I say the complete, some certificates, are not, they should be built, the complete path, if it's there, okay? Now, sometimes if that complete path is not there, then allowing that, you know, setting that chain to false, okay, then it would only build the the certain level, okay? In other words, the if I'm not mistaken, the if you haven't set the faults, okay, they will not build, they'll build this to leave. It will not go any higher.
Yeah, I know, but that's not a fix. It's a workaround.
Well, it depends on if the certificates are there, okay? In other words, if the FPG is able to load those certificates and see them.
I understand that. But the thing is...
This is a workaround, a setting in order for you to be able to get past that error.
Yeah, but the thing is, it is security. I mean, you know, if other companies are sending you the thirst, then they should send you the whole, you know, chaining and, I mean, you know, on all those thirsts, you should be able to build all the path. If you're not,
right,
then there is something wrong.
But I'm saying if the certificates is there, okay, and you have them loaded,
mm-hmm,
okay, and they are where WPG can build that path, then WPG will build that path. Now, this is the way, and I say if you don't have all that, okay, and you're getting this certificate chaining error, then you can set that value to false to get around that problem.
I understand that what you're saying, but the thing is, this is my personal opinion, that that setting should not be set to false. I mean, to me, it's a security hole.
But normally it's not. It's set to true by default. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
At this time, we have no further questions.
Thank you, Melissa. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.